I don't believe this. Came in off the tree, and just look at this. Well, that is unbelievable. I haven't seen that in such a long time.
Guys, welcome to another episode of Bogey or Better podcast. I am Dylan, and we've got Cam. Cam, how are you doing today?
Oh, hanging in there. How about yourself?
Doing good. I'm excited about this cold weather. It's feeling good. I love golfing in the cold a little bit. Much rather that than the Carolina heat, that is for sure.
It is nice, actually. I mean, I went out and I got pizza for lunch. That's how I was feeling like a real New Yorker. It hit 55, and I'm like, all right, I need some pizza.
It's time to bring out the sweaters.
That's right. The long pants and the sweaters. But I was definitely still in shorts and my UGG slippers, but same thing.
Yeah, been playing a good bit of golf, and actually, I have surprisingly been at the range for a little bit. I've been in the range twice in a week. That is the most, I think that's a record.
Most you've ever done.
For me. Yeah, ever done. Yeah, I think we got some good practice sessions in. I'm ready to play next weekend.
Yeah, we got a nice little 2v2 rematch coming up on Saturday. And I got to admit, I'm nervous. First one didn't go as I planned, and I'm working on a new swing, and it usually gets worse as it gets better. So I'm not feeling the confidence that I would like to. And did you actually go to CUSA and get some refresher lessons, or did you just go back through your old lessons?
Yeah, I didn't go back to CUSA. I wanted to see if I could do it myself, and it seems like it's working. I kind of went through my head what, you know, he was trying to get me to do with my rotation, my timing. The timing's the worst part with that, you know, more deeper rotation. Yeah. But it's working now. I'm back to my kind of normal ball shape, ball flight, and contact smash factor, and so it's it's going well.
Yeah, it's been looking good.
You just need to hope. You just need to hope that my putting isn't on Saturday.
I do have that's to all hope you need. That.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might have to step on it a hair just to bend it, just so it feels really off in your hand. Or maybe my putter will be on. All I know is I trust my teammate wholeheartedly, Adam. I trust you so much.
Which is that's exciting. That yeah, he needs some confidence. But our two teammates played against each other, and. They did. Adam, your teammate, won by considerable amount, by 12 strokes, I think.
It was impressive.
I mean, those scorecards were still just, they kind of made me sad. A lot of plus signs on those scorecards, but...
A lot of eights.
You know, it's all right. Yeah, you know, yeah, a lot of eights. But Adam came out victorious, so I know Tony's going to be hungry Saturday, so we'll see.
Yeah, I like the confidence that he got, so... We'll look forward to that. Our next episode, we'll preview that. So everybody cross your fingers that me and Adam win so that there is a part three. And then I know if we get there, we're going to have a really nice, like, champions dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Because that'll be nice. And then we're going to play it at a... Of course, I've played before within the past couple months, but you haven't played there in a little while, right?
It's probably been 6 months to a year. Since I've played there, but I remember liking it. I've played it a couple of times.
It's different. It's short. Is it a Pete Dye course?
It's the Pete Dye, yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be a little challenging, which is going to be nice because then we don't necessarily have to worry about who can hit it the longest because we know Tony's going to do that. Yeah. But I know Adam's going to put it in the fairway, so I'm not too concerned.
Yeah. Last course we played, very wide open, very big greens. This one's definitely going to be a little more narrower, definitely a lot more dog legs, and
yeah,
greens may be a little smaller, but I'm excited to see the speed. I hope they're a little fast. I like those fast greens.
Yeah, they played like medium to fast, and they are small, like definitely more, there's not a lot of room for error, so we're going to have to make sure our chipping around the green is on it. I might even just putt around the green, because they roll really nice, and... When I played there last time, we did a lot of that, and I felt like I was putting the ball much closer to the hole that way, because with chipping, around the green, it kind of wants to grab your club a little bit, so you would either get really short chip shots, or it would kind of bounce early and send it over the green. So I'm hoping that we don't have that happen to us. But I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we have a really exciting episode today. We have a guest from ClubShare. His name is Morgan. And Morgan, where do you come from? Where's ClubShare located right now?
Yeah, we're in San Diego mostly, but I think we're in about 5 states right now. But I'm from San Diego. I've been playing golf out here my whole life, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we're glad to have you on. So, Morgan, basically, what got you into the ClubShare? So, for the people that don't know or haven't heard, what do you provide or services is ClubSharing provide?
Yeah, we're a marketplace for golf club rentals. So back in the day, you know, before ClubShare, you'd travel to play golf and you'd be stuck with the course rentals wherever you're playing. And they'd either be, you know, brand new clubs for $80 a set for the round, you know, or they'd be like a bunch of loaner clubs that they just kind of threw in a bag. And we provide a marketplace so that you have a multitude of options. And those clubs come from individuals, so peer-to-peer, and then businesses, whether that's retail shops renting out their used clubs or golf club rental companies. And then we're adding some courses in there as well. So kind of like a promotion thing. So there's many different options, different brands, different price points. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I know, Dylan, I've had to, you probably have traveled a little more, but I've had to deal with most of the times I just don't even bring my clubs if I'm having to fly somewhere to do anything. Like, I was in Vegas, and the golf course is there, beautiful, and I just never ended up playing because it was like I didn't want to spend the money going to the course and then have to get whatever rentals they had, which could be nice clubs or it could be old clubs. I don't know. I didn't know what I was getting. And it was like, I don't know if I want to invest the money in playing a nice course somewhere and play with clubs that I'm not familiar with or I'm not excited to use, you know? And I mean, Dylan, what have you had to do stuff like that before?
Oh yeah. And it's quite terrible. I think the last time I remember, I was in Mexico and on a cruise, and we got a little golf package and we had to rent clubs, and they were like, it was back when Nike was still kind of making clubs. And so they were like Nike Sumo SQ Senior Flex.
Yeah.
And, it was fantastic. Just whipping those shafts all around the course. I hit some shot shapes that I'll never see again in my life.
Never.
It's a hassle to pack your clubs and get that cargo container for your clubs and pay the extra and all of that. Especially if you're not going on an actual golf trip, you know, if you're just going on vacation and you don't want the extra baggage. Yeah. It's kind of a pain because either, like y'all said, it's Ping G5s from 1998 that you're going to be hitting, just some Senior Flex or regular Flex if you hit stiff, you know, newer clubs, but you're going to have to pay extra. I've rented clubs multiple times, and I don't think it's ever been a positive experience from renting from a golf course.
I was just at the airport, and we had a layover, and I was looking at them. They had the cart with all the bags in it, and you would think they were in like the Olympic discus competition with how hard they were throwing these golf club bags in there. And I'm trying to get it on video. And I'm just like, oh man, thank goodness I didn't play golf.
Yeah, that's the other thing is how much they're going to take care of those clubs when you put them in there. Cause you know, you put your luggage in there. When we went on our honeymoon, me and my wife, we bought brand new luggage. After the connecting flight, they were already scuffed up and just looks like they took an elbow to it.
Yeah.
So that's another thing to worry about, too.
They're working for quick response times. They're throwing that stuff as hard as they can. It's like, so I think that's why I appreciate your business, because as looking through it, not only can you reserve your clubs ahead of time, which a lot of times you can't do at the course. It's basically first come, first serve. But then, you know, there are other, a lot of times you're renting other people's clubs, and you actually get a chance to try out certain brands that maybe you're looking to get this new iron set or this new driver, and you can rent the clubs that have those and actually get a chance to use them on the course. Because, I mean, Dylan and I, when we try out clubs, you got to hit them off of a mat, you know, into a screen. You don't really get the true feel of how they're going to react on the course.
Yeah, absolutely. The golf shop simulators, you know, where you try out the demo clubs, there might be a range here or there where you can go out on the range and try them out, but you definitely can't take them and go play around with them. So
yeah, no, that's a big deal, because I mean, most of the time, like, I'd love to try some of these new clubs, but I've got to be watched by some old man at Dick's Sporting Goods who, you know, is like, you need to stop moving your legs so much, when it's like, just let me hit the ball.
That's who I'm going to take advice from, is the old man at Dick's Sporting Goods. That's who I'm going to take my golf swing advice from.
Earl from Dick's Sporting Goods. He knows everything. It's always Earl.
It's always Earl.
They've been there for years, and they think all this newfangled technology is ridiculous. But I know that, like you said, you're in five states right now. What states are those? If you know off the top of your head.
Yeah, so California is definitely our biggest market. San Diego, I think we have like 30 or 40 listings. So that's that's what we're trying to do in certain golf markets, because, I mean, we have 20 stiff options, 15 regulars, you know, some ladies, senior flex. Yeah. So depending on how good you are, I mean, I think stiffness is the most important factor. And then, you know, if you're not going to want to play blades, if you're a 20 handicap, probably you're not going to have that much fun. So we're in a few different states, you know, kind of sporadic listings in a few states. Right. But California, we're moving into Orange County and Palm Springs right now. And then we're also in Denver. I think we have a few sets in the Northeast. Yeah, so it's mainly just building out those markets, because that's where you're going to have the most options. I mean, it's helpful, definitely, if there's three sets to choose from. I mean, that's two more than you had at the course, but we want like 20 or 30 options for people. So
yeah,
right.
Because then you not only have the choice of, well, this is the only, you know, stiff flex, so I have to hit these. You have an opportunity to pick, like, oh, I've never hit, you know, these Callaway irons before. I haven't hit this before. Might as well try that. And the cool thing is that it's not just golf shops, but you can put your own clubs on there, right?
Yeah, definitely. So we started marketing that way, you know, make money listing your clubs. And it's kind of funny, one of our original listers is totally organic. I don't even know the guy. He's made like over half the value of what his clubs are worth, you know, in the short amount of time that we've been active. So it's kind of funny. You actually can make some money towards future rounds. You know, just growing the game really is what we're after.
Yeah.
I love that. It's like Uber for golf clubs.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah,
and I mean, if you know you can rent them out, like, people will reserve them, if you're putting your own clubs up, you can just black out dates that you know you're going to play, and you'll have your clubs. But then on days that you're not playing, they'd be available to make a little bit of money. And basically, you could play golf for free, in theory.
Yeah, you really can. We have a disabled days calendar, like you said, if you're playing, or maybe you're traveling out of town. So people can still see your listing, but they can't rent them on those days. And then all your clubs are fully covered for any damage, theft, loss. So yeah, there's some people who have like brand new sets of Mavericks on there, and, you know, they're just casual golfers, and hopefully make some money on the side and use that towards future rounds.
Honestly, I mean, if you're going to play every Saturday, why not put your clubs up there during the week? And then before you know, you get, you get free golf money, and then your wife doesn't get mad at you. It's perfect.
Yeah, I mean, good luck with that. But yeah, that's a good that's a good strategy.
So, but so really, like, because you've got, you know, you got California down, so we need you to get the SEC market, that Southeast. We gotta open up. So I'm hoping that I've been talking with Dylan these past couple episodes about getting my own set of clubs, like the fitted for once. So then I can have a second set, like, solely for that, that people can rent and try out. So I'm looking forward to trying that out. So if you want to make some money on the side, I mean, this is the way to do it. Even if you just use your own set, because, I mean, you can black out those dates that you want to use them.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to be looking for that.
Absolutely. And, you know, being fully covered is, you know, people are really protective over their golf clubs. Absolutely. It's kind of funny. They'll let a stranger in their car, you know, they'll rent out their house to strangers, Airbnb and Uber, but they're like, oh, golf clubs. I don't know, man. I don't know about that. But, once they try it and they just realize that, you know, golf is a game of respect. What's the word I'm looking for? You know,
it's a gentleman's sport.
It's a gentleman's sport, exactly. So everyone takes care of the listings just as they would their own clubs, you know. So
yeah, and like you said, I mean, they're insured anyway, so
yeah,
I mean, you're taken care of regardless, so it's really no hassle, no worry, right?
Yeah, definitely.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, guys, you gotta check them out. That's enough business, though. So Morgan, how good at golf are you?
Well, everyone thinks you're the best, you know, so, like I said, I have a lesson after this, so clearly I can get better. I'm an okay golfer, you know, I'll go in the low 80s all the way up into pushing 100, you know, it just depends on the day. I will say, this is kind of a funny story. My claim to fame is last year I had 2 hole-in-ones in 1 round.
Oh my really? God!
I was on the news and everything.
Get out of here!
How did you just not quit after that?
Yeah, I know. I thought I didn't play for like 3 weeks after that. I was like, I did. I beat golf. It's over.
That's literally. I mean, not only one, because me and Dylan joke, because both of us have never. His wife hit one on her first par 3 ever.
Oh man!
Like the first opportunity.
Yeah. Her first round of golf, just stuck it and it just rolled right in.
So it's like, not only is it tough that we've never hit one, but then his wife does it in front of his face.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, it was so good. So 2 in a round. So did you save both those balls?
Yeah, I got both the balls, and they were only 1 hole apart, too. It's really funny because I 3-putted the hole between that, of course. So, you know.
But fix that score real good.
Yeah, the second one was a slam dunk, which is, like, hard to do from a chip shot. Like, we were like, what? It was, you know, it sounded like a shotgun went off, and me and my friend just looked at each other. It was like, are you kidding me?
Man, so you had a par 3, a hole in between, then another par 3?
Yeah, it was an executive course. So, you know, a little handicap there, but
still counts. Still par 3.
I still to this day think that a double eagle, you know, a 2 on a par 5 is more impressive, cuz you got to hit a 280 plus drive and then you're basically hitting a hole in one from 200 plus out. I've never done that, so that's the next on the bucket list, maybe one day. I'm happy to just get on the green, you know, on 2, on a par 5.
That's so crazy. Yeah, I Dylan's gotten close the past couple rounds he's played.
Yeah, I lipped out 2 rounds ago for one. It broke my heart. The second time that's happened in my career is lipping out for a hole in one. It's got to happen at some point, but
yeah, that's a COVID hole in one. You could say that the little the pin puller got in your way. It affected it somehow.
Yeah, there you go.
See, we don't have those fancy courses. We just have the pool noodles.
Oh, the pool noodles.
Yeah,
pool noodles.
Yeah, we don't have no. Yeah, down in South Carolina, there's no fancy pin pullers. They just cut up noodle. Which honestly, like, it really, I feel like I haven't hit a putt all year because you don't get this nice sound anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it just sits on top Like, it doesn't, in some holes, Dylan, they don't even cut it short enough. It just kind of sits, like, it rolls and just sits up there. So it looks like it never made it in. It's just sitting what would be in the hole, but just, like, maybe, like, a quarter inch below it.
It's like you're on the practice green.
Yeah. Yeah, where they use the fake pins where it's not actually a hole, like they just stick it there. That's basically what it's like putting over
here. If I would have done it a month later, that slam dunk would have hit the pool noodle and went in the street.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
It would have bounced so high. Yeah. Like, you can't do that right now. it is quite unfortunate. Those long sinking putts aren't as satisfying anymore. I mean, Dylan, when you hit yours the first time we played, it just kind of sat up there. It wasn't really... You don't get that nice clacking around on the bottom.
Yeah, and it's a bummer because this is like the best putting I've done in, you know, forever. And just don't get that satisfaction anymore.
That's the only joy I get when he starts putting well is that it just kind of sits there. It's not it's not that nice feeling. Because we all know I'm not a good putter. So I don't get the satisfaction regardless, but... When he hits a long putt, the little bit there, it's like, well, it didn't really satisfy that much. So, so what your lesson? What have you been working on?
Well, this is my first one in a while because, you know, I've just been getting so frustrated. I'm doing a big overdraw right now, mainly with my irons. So I think my hips are just going at the same time as my hands. But I'm about to overpay some kid to tell me that and show me, you know.
show you to stop doing what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see. It can't hurt, you know.
No, I love when people do that where they just go, if something's not working out, just go get a lesson. Have somebody else look at your swing, and that makes a huge difference. I mean, that's what Dylan's been talking about wanting to go do, and it's been working for him too. So
yeah, like 2 years ago, I went and got so Jimmy Kuza here. He actually was Dustin Johnson's high school coach, and so I got one lesson from him, and it changed my swing completely. It changed my game completely, and it's helped. And I kind of got away from what he taught me and was just hitting some insane, like, right off the hosel. I don't want to say the S word, so I'm just going to say I hit it right off the hosel. And but I just kind of thought about that one lesson, and it's definitely helped a lot. So yeah, even one lesson can help your game a good bit.
Yeah, a lot of new golfers, you know, they ask on the Facebook groups and all that stuff. They're like, oh, what, you know, should I get fitted or should I get a lesson? You know, and they just started and it's like, oh, man, you are like 15 years from even knowing what's going on.
Yeah.
I would recommend a lesson and then work on that. And, you know, I'm pretty short. So I think if you can't hit standard loft length lie clubs, then you don't need to start bending them and all that stuff.
Yeah. Just learn how to hold the club. That's the first thing. When I took my wife,
learn to make contact first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's learn to make contact first.
A lot of people because I didn't really start with lessons. So there's a lot of poor swing thoughts and patterns that are just ingrained that it's going to take forever to get rid of. So it's like, I've had people ask me, like, would you, if I bought some clubs, would you show me how to play? And it's like, well, it's just not simple like that. Like, it's like, yes, I understand how to play golf, but it's like, do I have the physical abilities to teach you? I do not.
No.
It's like, you need to go to somebody that does that for a living, that, because there's so many little things about golf that matter, like how you hold the club, how your stance is, and that's just a couple things, but it's like, to teach that to somebody that's never held a club in their life, it's going to be difficult to let them just learn one thing and do things poorly until they learn. Like, for my wife, it was literally just on how to hold the club, and she kept swinging. And it was just, you know, it didn't matter what happened. It was just till she felt comfortable with the grip so that she didn't have to think about it. So when they moved on to how to properly swing the club, they didn't have to worry about her overthinking with her grip. So it's actually, I mean, it makes sense, but that's not something I would know how to teach somebody.
Yeah, and it's everyone's different. One of my main golf buddies, he's like 6'8", so he's about a foot taller than me. And, you know, he's really handsy. He, like, doesn't use his hips very much. Yeah. And then I got to use, you know, every square millimeter of my body. But it's funny because his hands, our fingertips when we're standing side by side are about equal length to the ground just because he's got such long arms. So it's like, I mean, standard clubs, that's just hit the ball, you know, just try your best swing. Don't overpower it. And my big thing is like my takeaway when I over open my hands, it's going left. If I don't turn them enough, it's going right. And that's important to figure that out, and you'll have more fun.
I agree. It's all about having fun. That's why we do this podcast. It's not, we try not to try to help the golf game be less serious and have some fun. Wear hoodies on the course, you know. That's exactly the big debate now, right?
Well, let's not get into that. No, I'm just kidding. I don't pay attention to it, but
I find it so funny. Well, Morgan, we want to thank you for coming on and telling us. So plug your socials so people can find you.
Yeah, I think we're clubshare_golf on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Probably Instagram is where you're going to find best content. We throw like deals and promos in there. And if you send us a message on Instagram, we'll send you a free shirt and a hat.
There you go, guys. I love it. Thank you so much for reaching out, bud.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
appreciate it.
Thank you, bud.
Thank you, sir.
So basically, after talking with Morgan and learning about that company, it got me looking at the fact that you can try out all these other clubs. And, you know, I've told you before that I was thinking about getting fitted. So I went over to this guy that's his business, club fitting and repairs clubs. And he specifically only works with Maltby clubs. Have you heard of them before? I've heard them, Maltby.
No, not until you went to him. I have never heard of them before.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Okay, you know, I was like, yeah. I'm sure they're not going to be great, because I figured there's a reason that I never heard of them. Well,
all right.
Apparently, the irons are some of the best in the game, and there's a whole slew of them, and they're, I think for some of their nicer sets, it's around like $500 for a set of irons. Now to put that in so perspective. Insane.
So yeah, I was looking at,
but to put that Ping, in perspective, what were those irons you were looking at?
Yeah. So I was looking at the Ping i500s and the Mizuno 921 forged.
Oh,
and
Mizuno
both
irons.
Of them are about like, I think $145 to $160 an iron.
Yeah. Iron. Yeah,
I mean, we're looking at $1,300-$1,400 at least.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy. And I went to Titleist and did their like online fitting, and they told me to use the T100s, and so I looked. And I'm like, oh, okay, because it's not their highest quality iron, right. You know. But it's not a cavity back, but it's one of their like middle ground in between blades and cavity, and it was $200 a club. So basically, I could get 2.5 clubs. So I could get, you know, a 5-iron and like a pitch and wedge, and then like the shaft of an 8-iron. For the same price, I could get a full set of the same forged irons from Maltby. So I was like, I gotta give them a try.
Yeah, right? That's the other thing with the, you know, popular brand name irons is they're that expensive. But and also, if you have to get like a certain upgraded shaft, that's gonna be extra money added to it.
Yeah,
I mean, you could be walking out with $2,000 irons.
Yeah,
it's insane.
Just your irons. That's not wedges, putters, drivers.
Right.
Like that's literally just your irons, and that's the thing too. What you're saying, like that's just stock. That's if you just buy them with the neutral angle, same shaft, grip, standard. You know, there's no change. Like, if you're short and you need it cut down or anything, that's all extra money. Mm-hmm. Like, we like mid-size grips. You know how much money, like, that they're going to cost to re-grip them?
It's going to be an extra, like, $130 if you want Golf Pride mid-size grips.
Yep. Just that. That's literally it. And then if, you know, I'm thinking about getting some plus half or plus one on my shafts. Every single club is going to have to be cut and done. Like, it's so outrageous. So, regardless. So, I went to this guy, and I told him, like, I was more interested in a full set, you know, like, get fitted for a driver in woods. And he said he's not a fan of Maltby drivers and woods, so he doesn't really offer them. But he's like, well, they make the best irons that he's ever seen. And so I was like, well, I mean, if he's willing to tell me, I was literally going to be like, I will give you money if you give me a driver. And he was like, I don't want your money. So I was like, he's a very trusting guy. And so he gave me those two. There's two. I'll post them on our Instagram. The KE4s and the TS2s. It was TS2, right? I don't remember.
Yeah, TS2s and KE4.
Yeah. Irons, so the KE4 is a cavity back. The TS2 is a more forged iron. And me and you took them to the range.
Yes, we did.
And they felt really good.
First shot, I my mouth was open. I was shocked. Felt very good, very soft. But it very springy off the face as well, though. Especially when you have that word forged on your iron, I mean, you're going in expecting, okay, this is going to feel buttery soft. Yeah. And sure enough, it did. It felt great.
Yeah, I was so pleasantly surprised, because I was thinking that if it's not Titleist, TaylorMade, Ping, Mizuno, even Cobra, like Cleveland, you're starting to get to like the B brands, but if they're not those, like, they're obviously not that good. But this guy, Maltby's been making irons for a long time, and they're phenomenal. Like, and there's tons of them, because he's got a bag of trial sets that he lets you just take to the range before you come back.
That's awesome.
And which I thought was, if there's any club fitters listening, like, that was so cool, because he immediately got my business, because I had obviously broken my 6-iron the last time we played, because apparently that keeps happening. And I was just going to leave it broken, because it's not a very used club in my bag, but because he was so like, why don't you just I'll fix your 6-iron. You take this 7-iron. And then he was like, it'll be ready Monday. And I'm like, all right, hopefully I can get to the range and try them out. And he's like, oh, don't rush it. Like, bring them whenever. They're literally for people to try out. So I'll probably take them again, like, next week. I may even bring them on our tournament on Saturday and see just like, cause Adam's a little shorter and those trial clubs are shorter. So I'm wondering, see if he hits them, see how he likes them. And Tony too, because they're just so inexpensive. I mean, you can get a brand new set fitted for you for like $500.
Yeah, that's incredible. I'm very, very surprised, and it's just changed my mind completely. I'm a fan, and I think I'm going to do it as well. I think I'm going to go right in with you, and I think those are going to be the irons I get fitted for.
They were just so nice. Like, and he'll bend them, and basically same process as a normal fitter. You come in, then he takes like a stock iron, and then you hit him, and then he'll then, you know, make the notes on how shaft adjustment, lie adjustment, you know, does it need to be like a 9-iron bent, like a degree a little forward? Like, do they all need to be bent a little forward, a little back? Which honestly, that's probably what I need. I need more of the old school, like where they are more lofted, because I do tend to hit them. I have a very low ball flight with a spinny ball, which is funny because I try to get the balls that give me a higher flight to help counteract that. But with my wedges, I can get them nice and high. I open that face up, man. I can sky them things. But I think when you showed me pulling the ball a hair forward in my stance, I was getting more natural height on it. I think I just keep it a little too far back.
Yeah, because that's what I used to do that for a long time. I used to play irons in the back of my stance. But once I got a couple of lessons and started just watching some videos, I saw that that was just, I mean, you know, that's okay, but it's really, if you want more of a consistent ball flight and shape, it's, you need to put it more in the front middle.
Yeah.
Kind of lining up to your left nipple.
Yeah, I was kind of keeping it like a ball ahead of my wedge spot.
Right.
And I think that was just a hair too back. Maybe one more ball will be good because I'm hitting them nice. I'm just hitting them on, like, the bottom, like, three grooves instead of, you know, a groove or two higher. And I hit a lot of, you know, nice divots, deep stuff. So I know I can get it there. I think I'm just, like you said, I'm just maybe a ball behind. And so I'm looking forward to trying that. I think Saturday's going to be a little more even than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm, let's see, where are we? We're Saturday, yeah, so exactly 7 days, and another 2v2, second round, me and Tony versus Cam and Adam. We're
ready.
It's
going to be good.
Let's do it. Yeah.
And we're less than 2 weeks away from the Masters, I mean.
Yes.
I'm so ready. It's going to be nice to have a Masters this time of year. It'll be so weird.
Yeah. And the way they're doing it on the Masters app now is so cool, so you're going to be able to customize who you want to watch the whole round, which groups, and everything like that. That's very exciting.
Yeah. Tiger Woods.
I'm going to watch nothing but Tiger, Tiger, Rory, and Bryson.
Yeah. I was about to say, I've only really started liking Bryson this year just because of how, I mean, his driving. I just find it interesting. I love watching how far he hits the ball.
Yeah.
I normally didn't like it because he was so scientific. Sorry, I don't know why I couldn't think of that word. And
Cam just had a stroke, everybody.
Right. I really did. I was like, scientifical? I don't think that's it. And, you know, we're big fans of Tiger. So hearing Tiger talk about Bryson being like, just hit the ball. Like, stop, you know, thinking about all this stuff. And so I just never was a big fan. And then as, you know, young California Bryson, he just looked a little cocky, you know, and I'm like,
right,
just not a huge fan. And then
yeah,
watched him come back and I'm like, oh my God, he's fat. Like he put,
yeah, that's hilarious.
But then actually looking into what he did, I'm like, oh no, he's just like 30 pounds more and he's hitting the ball like 370 yards. Like that's what it is. And then he just posted his 200 and what was it? 205 ball speed? 210?
Something like that. 205, I think.
And a 400-yard carry. 400-yard carry. It landed 400 yards away from him. That is 4 football fields.
Yeah. And
that is outrageous.
Not with the 48-inch shaft, right?
No, that was with the standard, his regular drive. So he's going to put another, 3 inches onto that? Which is outrageous to think that that he's going to hit driver 3 inches longer than he already has. Yeah.
That's what the guys in the long drive competitions use, 48-inch drivers.
Yeah. And they don't even hit it that far.
I wonder what his loft is on his driver. I bet it's like 7.
Yeah, I'm wondering, though, because a lot of times with the lower loft, you tend to put a little too much spin on it.
Yeah.
So I wonder, I mean, he hits that one plane swing, so I wonder if he hits high enough on the ball where he can drop the loft. I don't know. That would be something to look into. I'm sure he's got that information out there because he plays those Cobra speed that I've been looking into those woods.
Yeah.
The woods that they make are really nice because I think I'm going to stick with my driver. I think I like my Titleist driver, but I need to upgrade my woods. The Cleveland launcher, the HB launcher is like an anti-slice. I don't know why. That's what it's known for. So I might try those out.
Cleveland has always been into anti-slice clubs. One of my first drivers was a Cleveland Highbore draw driver.
Yeah.
Sounded like a tin can when you hit it, but yeah.
But you didn't slice it.
Didn't slice it, no.
Yeah, I think it's the weight of it. And it's not for people that hit super out to in. There's no club that's gonna fix that. I think it's more if you tend to hit a hair out to in versus like almost like how I tend to hit my irons. Like it's just a little cut, but it keeps your face from opening, I think, the way it's weighted, so that you don't hit those like slices. It keeps the face more closed. That's probably what it is. And it's probably the face degree is probably a little closed as well. Because the 3-wood that I have is a little closed. So I tend to... It's tough to draw that 3-wood because I have to leave it wide open. But then it's like... It's not... When it hits the ground, it's not at the right, like, lie angle. But the bottom of the club is off. So I tend to hit heel first and then it closes it. And then it just hooks it. So you kind of just got to figure that. But the Cobra was an affordable buy that they were saying. And I was reading about high handicappers and using 3-woods. And they said that 3-woods and 5-woods are made specifically for smooth swinging. They don't have the shafts that drivers do that are made to, you know, swing and pound it and it kicks it. They're made for long, not necessarily slow tempo, but long, easy tempo, like, nice and consistent swings. And they were saying use above a 17 degree and it makes your life super easy. A lot of people think they need 3-woods, but those are a lot smaller degree. So they were saying get a 5-wood and a 7-wood. And usually those degrees are higher and you swing nice and easy and you'll hit them in the fairway consistently. And I was like, how interesting is that? Because I always think I need to hit an iron off the tee if I'm not hitting my driver well. Because I immediately think if I'm not hitting my driver well, I'm not hitting my woods well. Which is not the case, because you're really not supposed to hit your woods like a driver. Your woods should have a downward attack angle. Now, not as downward as your irons, but they are a lofted club. You're supposed to hit down on them so that they pop up. Like that's because for me, I always think I need to sweep it. I need to sweep it because if I hit the ground, it's bad. And that's when you get a ton of slicing, because to sweep it, you're trying to keep it up. So you end up throwing the club and that face is wide open. But you hit that TaylorMade 3-wood so beautiful.
Oh, man, that's my favorite 3-wood ever. I don't think I will ever get rid of it.
You shouldn't. I was looking up, because it's the M6, right? And that was another one. Because they were saying the new TaylorMade Sim wood setup is one of the better ones. But if you wanted to get one that's a little more affordable, that the M6s were also at that, close to that level.
And they have what Tiger uses, which is the M6 Titanium, which is supposed to be really good too.
Yeah.
But I think we're both going to get fitted for those Maltby irons, and maybe we can plan to go together and maybe do a little kind of like a vlog and put it on IG for everyone to see and just kind of see the process of getting fitted. Or even if we don't get fitted at the same time, one of us, we can just film each other. And kind of just go through that. But,
Yeah. So people can see the process. Yeah. That'd be cool. Yeah. And hopefully, if that guy would be interested, it may be cool to have him on to talk about what fittings do and what they don't do. Because he had a little bit of information for me that I was thinking fittings did more, I think, than they actually do. So it might be nice if he'd be interested to come on, and or maybe while we're getting fitted, we can record some of our conversations and share them with you guys. Because it's really going to be interesting. And the irons look beautiful. You'll see. They don't look like...
they
look
really nice.
They look really good. But I've been shopping for clubs so much. Those new Titleist drivers. Ooh. Look good. They look good. They said for me that the TI2, the new TI2s were for me. The TI3s are basically professional ones.
Yeah.
They're solely for people that want workability with their driver. And that's the last thing that I want with my driver.
Yeah. I just want to hit it in the fairway.
Yeah. The only workability I want is for it to land in the fairway.
Yeah, I'd like to hit it straight, please. That's all I want.
Imagine being that good, where it's like, man, I really need to work this driver like five more yards. I need to
hit
to
this
left.
Low draw with this driver.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like normally, it's like, maybe I cannot top this one. If that's the workability they're talking about, then I'll be down for that. Yeah. But I think it's more like professional setup where, you know, yeah. I need to be able to cut it more this way or slice it more or draw it more. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, no, I just, you know, if I hit it somewhere on the face, I want it to be okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I'm going to mess with the driver setup that I have now, try and open the face a little bit and focus more on that draw swing.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be good. We're going to have a good golf week. I'm going to hit the range a couple more times. Maybe we can, because you're not working late this week, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we can hit the range a little bit.
Yeah. We got some exciting stuff coming up, guys. So stick around and you'll get some good content. It's going to be a good winter for golf for us, I think. So
I think so, too. But
yeah. Well, we got to head out. So good to see you guys again. Good to talk to you guys again. And we will see y'all next time.
See you guys.